Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 211th ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel and recording from the Revel Advertising Studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing great, Cameron. Chiefs play tonight. That's at least one team in Missouri that knows how to play football. So
they looked pretty good week one.
Yeah, they did. They looked immaculate.
Yeah.
They do that sometimes where they'll come out and it's just like, who's beating this team? Like, how did the Chiefs even lose to anyone? Like, they just...
And everybody's like, they're actually better without Tyreek Hill.
Might be.
Well, they're spreading the ball around well.
It's just unreal how well-oiled of a machine they looked like on week one.
Yeah, we're going to be pushing kickoff time for the Chiefs game.
It's fine. So. This is priority number one right here.
Kyle's dedicated, everybody.
That's right.
I feel like this episode, we have a lot to unpack, unfortunately, 2 weeks into the season for Mizzou football. This is going to be more of a free-form therapy session than a proper, like, breakdown preview episode.
Yeah, I didn't even write anything down for this episode. It's just going to be... whatever I am feeling in the moment is what I will say.
We're still going to do SEC Pick'em plus Nebraska. Producer Cameron's not here.
Where is he?
I'm assuming he just couldn't show his face in public after Nebraska's game last week.
Only team that has it worse than us right now, yeah.
Yeah, so he is fine. There's nothing wrong with him. Other than mentally, I think he's shut himself in.
Yeah.
And can't face the world now.
It's a concern.
So we'll be thinking about him. Really, though, he's fine. He's on vacation. But I'm sure he's sad about Nebraska.
That did sound very very cryptic.
That was just mostly for him to listen to later. Before we get into it, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Leave us a review. Support us on Patreon if you want. Patreon.com/MissouriSportsPod. We'll just get right into it. Is there any news worth newsing about?
No.
Okay. Missouri looked awful against Kansas State in almost every way. Defense looked okay. Defense made us falsely think that maybe Missouri could mount a little bit of a comeback in the third quarter. That was never going to happen because of the offense, but I would say the defense gave us a little hope along the way, made some plays. They could have easily just kind of said, okay, this is no fun playing in the rain like this, this with the delays and everything. Let's get home. And the defense could have laid down and Kansas State could have scored 60 points.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really even know where to start, honestly. But, I mean, that is true. The defense definitely could have just laid down and died in the second half. They didn't do that. There was definitely a couple of moments in the second half where it was like Kansas State was giving us every opportunity to at least make it remotely interesting. You know, we were giving them the ball on their side of the field just over and over and over, and Missouri's defense was holding for the most part, you know, forcing field goals and that kind of stuff, or, you know, whatever it was. So, yeah, you're right. Kansas State could have easily scored 60 and probably should have. That's what they're talking about right now, is how they could have improved, is they probably should have punched it in a few more times.
Yeah, I feel like Kansas State fans are not happy with their offense after this game. They're not happy with Martinez. I mean, this was supposed to be like, well, you know, he'll settle in and have a decent game. But his stat line, 9 of 20 for 100 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, there was nothing scary about Kansas State really in the second half. But, you know, Missouri just did everything they possibly could to shoot themselves in the foot. They, like, everything that could have possibly went wrong did and more. It's just every aspect of Missouri's offense was completely dreadful. Brady Cook was terrible. The running game couldn't get going. The O-line was terrible. Play calling was horrible. Everything was as bad as it could have possibly been. And the only thing that could have made this game worse is if you put last year's defense out there and Deuce Vaughn would have ran for 400 yards. And that's the only thing that could have been worse.
Yeah. Just to look at the box score for the Mizzou side, Brady Cook, 15 of 27 for 128 yards, 2 interceptions. He did get hit pretty hard a few times. He ran the ball 13 times for 56 yards, actually Missouri's most effective runner in the game.
Yeah.
But he took some hits, had to come out of the game for a few plays, and also Coach Drinkwitz said he wanted to see something different. He like said that in the post-game press conference. It was not only the hits, he said. It was also wanted to see a different look. So Jack Abraham came out and threw three passes. Two of those were interceptions. And the third one was incomplete pass. 0 for 3, two interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a literal circus in the second half. I mean, it was just like four of the last five passes we'd thrown at one point were intercepted.
Video game stuff in the bad way.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about, like, video game numbers when a player does really well.
Yeah.
And
it was like Kansas put Mizzou on, like, beginner mode, and they were just, like, doing everything they wanted to do.
Yeah. Like, it's like when you're playing the video game and you press the button of the wrong receiver, and so it gets picked off. Or, like, you press the button and you knowing they're covered, like, that's an interception.
Yeah.
That was happening over and over again. There was tip balls, but it doesn't make any sense. The quarterback play is in that game was some of the worst I've seen since 2015.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate Brady's effort on the ground, and I mean, clearly it's not a matter of effort. He certainly wants to win as bad as anybody and is willing to sacrifice his body and get out there and run, but I mean, he just was totally off whenever he was throwing the ball intermediate or deep. It was underthrown. He was throwing, you know, the too far to the inside just perfectly for the defender.
Yep.
It was all over the place.
Yeah, and when they were taking chances down the field, he wasn't given the receiver the opportunity to make a play.
Yeah.
And if he had just done that, then we're going to complete a couple of those deeper throws and flip the field. And then, you know, the game can slow down for you a little bit, but it was just not happening. Dominic Lovett actually had a good game, 3 catches for 66 yards. That was about it for the entire offense. Nathaniel Pete, 13 carries for 10 yards.
I mean, how much is that as Kansas State's defense? I mean, I think they're legit.
Yeah.
I think Kansas State had a great environment. I was watching on TV. It sounded really loud. We have a couple listeners that were at the game. They said it was really, really loud.
Yeah, and incredibly loud.
They had some great, you know, chants going. It was a very orchestrated effort from the band and everybody there, and so I mean, they made it a not fun environment to play in, and on top of the weather and everything, but both teams were having to play in the weather. It wasn't just Missouri, and so I don't know that that's really an excuse, but yeah, it was just, man, I can't imagine being a Mizzou fan that attended that game, by the way. So if you were in attendance of this game, man, I hats off to you, because that would have been a terrible afternoon.
Yeah, I hope the Kansas State fans were nice to you at least. So moving on from anything on the field, but if you remember something, feel free to just throw it in there. But, I saw a lot of people saying, like, this can't happen in year 3. It is frustrating. These type of games, I mean, you maybe tweeted something about it, like, this Kansas State game is very similar to several other early season games that the fans have circled as like, okay, this is where we're going to know something, where the team just, not only do they lose, they just fall flat and look like they're not going to win another game the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's really been incredibly disappointing, especially in the Drinkwitz era, of those games like we got to get up for, and we do the complete opposite. And it's like they just have this innate ability to just completely kill fan interest early in the season, as sad as that is to say. And we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be here. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch every game, and we're not going anywhere. I'm sure a lot of you guys would agree with that. But, you know, you just have to find ways to build momentum sometimes, and the team just does nothing to help with that. And, you know, we expected Missouri to lose this game for the most part. We knew this would be a tough game. But just the way that they went in there, completely folded from the get-go, looked scared, looked like that bunker mentality was very much still intact. It was just completely and utterly disappointing.
Okay, so in the aftermath now, obviously a lot of the fan base is very upset, rightfully so. And Coach Drinkwitz in the post-game press conference talked about how one game doesn't define the season, which absolutely true. That's the mentality he needs to have and the entire team. And he didn't really want to say a whole lot immediately after the game as far as like what went wrong, X's and O's. He said he's got to watch the tape, but he did praise the defense, and everything seemed pretty run-of-the-mill as far as like what you say after a really disappointing loss. And he took full blame for it, which if you haven't actually listened to him say it, I think just reading the quotes, for some reason reading Eli Drinkwitz quotes makes him sound worse than he comes across live.
That's worse, just my opinion. Like more negative.
Yeah, more negative and more like snarky, I think. He okay. comes across that way when you're just reading it. So when he was saying like, that's on me for all the different things, I think that sounded okay in the actual press conference. But when I first read it, I was like, almost sounds like he's being sarcastic. But I don't know. I just think listening to him in the press conference previewing this upcoming matchup with Abilene Christian, obviously he was asked a lot about the Kansas State game because he didn't give a lot of answers in the Kansas State game. So credit to the reporters. They said, okay, you went and watched the film. What did you see on offense? And all he would give anybody is there's a lot of room for improvement. There's a lot of stuff we can do better. And he said that that's on him to figure out a better scheme and get the players to execute it better. Now, all we're hearing about from the fans, myself included, is about the play calling and the quarterback play. And it's a complete retread of last year at this point, where that's all we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so where are you with that? Is it just the same thing? Because how long can we keep telling ourselves that, you know, the quarterback is going to solve this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's the most like complex situation that we have going on is, I mean, the exact same situation we were in last year, like you said, was like, you know, what last year was it Bazelak? Is it the offensive line? Does coach just not trust Bazelak to make these throws? Do we just not have enough playmakers? And we're kind of just saying the same stuff right now. It's, you know, does coach just really not trust Brady Cook to throw the ball down the field? And I think, I don't know. It's like, I want to complain about the play calling, but then they do throw it down the field and it doesn't look good.
Right.
And I know Brady's capable of making better throws than he's made.
And the conditions were not great.
The conditions were terrible, and the defense is good. I know that. But, man, it's just, how can you trust him whenever he just is so inefficient? And so, unfortunately, I still don't really know that we have our answer on, like, where can we point our finger for? Because, you know, we want to do that. Like, where can we put the blame for how terrible of a performance this was? And I don't know, man. I think it's some combination of a lot of those things where the offensive line was terrible. And our playmakers are young, man. It's like Luther Burden, he's played in two college games in his life. Dominic Lovett is probably going to be our best receiver this year, at least stats-wise. And, you know, he's a sophomore. And mm-hmm. We don't have Chance Looper out there. We don't have a tight end that's ever really played for us. And you know, there's just so much. There's so many new faces with so little or no game experience. Even Brady Cook himself has barely played any games. So I think that was kind of like our worst fear realized, you know, from the offseason was just, you know, putting all these young guys on the field. There's talent out there, but even some of the most talented guys that Missouri can bring in, it's just going to take some time. And I'm afraid that's still just kind of where we are.
So, I feel like it's unfortunately still too early to figure out if it's a scheme issue or a quarterback issue.
Yeah.
And that's infuriating, honestly. Yeah. Like,
and I will say in complete emotional, knee-jerk reaction fashion, I tweeted something during the game about Missouri needing an offensive coordinator. I still think that's probably true.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you. A lot of people very much agreed with that. So I was going to ask you where you were on that, but it sounds like you're in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, it's another one of those things. Like, I feel like hiring an offensive coordinator is the same as start Sam Horn. Neither one of those things will just magically make everything better. And doing both of those things would not magically make everything better. Mm-hmm. So
I think how I analyze the situation is clearly what we know Drinkwitz is really good at is being that CEO of the team, kind of like just leading the team from a CEO standpoint and leading recruiting. He's really good at selling the program and selling a vision, but we have not seen his expertise transferred to the field yet. And right. That's maybe because of the things we talked about, and maybe it's because he just has too much going on. And so he kind of delegated some of the quarterback duties in the offseason. But I think it may be time for him to just delegate the play calling, the entire offense over to someone else. And I meant to look up, you know, how many teams in the country, or at least Power Five, like how many of those teams have their head coach calling the plays? And I don't know that it's that many.
Not a lot.
I mean, I just...
That is a trendier thing, I think, in the last 10 years or so. And from kind of the Mike Leach air raid offense school of thought and some of those other offensive gurus that were just that good that they became head coaches.
Yeah.
Or they, what you see a lot, you know, is like a head coach kind of having this offensive coordinator who's basically just like an extension of themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons I think just hiring an offensive coordinator wouldn't fix all of our problems, because I think if Coach Drinkwitz is going to do that, it's going to be someone that is just an extension of himself.
Like-minded, yeah. And similar play calling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, I mean, he, I would be shocked if he, you know, hired someone who had a very different philosophy on what plays to call.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can imagine it would be a struggle to give that up if you've always done that. And then you could be putting that offensive coordinator in a bad spot where they are just getting, you know, they know that would Drink have called this play in this spot, you know.
Sure.
That
it's definitely not a mid-season thing either.
No.
It would obviously be an off-season thing. So it would be a while if that were to actually happen.
So I want to talk about more about the press conference previewing Abilene Christian, and then maybe we can kind of wrap it up a little bit with sort of what the rest of the season, how we should think about the rest of the season and beyond. So Drinkwitz is starting to get to this spot with the media and the fan interactions where he's starting to become unlikable. And it's pretty unfortunate, but it is completely reversible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he should, I don't know, talk to a PR person or somebody in the athletic department and try to get a handle on this before it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Because he was being downright adversarial and just like passive aggressively adversarial to the media in this press conference anytime they asked him about basically the performance of the offense.
The questions we want to know the answers
yes,
to.
The performance of the offense and or about any offensive players specifically.
Yeah.
He just avoided it and kind of leaned into this like, and sometimes coaches can utilize this to motivate their team if it's like us against the world, you know, like, you know, nobody believes in us, we're going to have to believe in ourselves sort of thing. But I don't know that he's capable of pulling that off, because it came across passive aggressive and not, you know, like stoic and we're not going to let this affect us.
Yeah. And I do recall when we hired Drinkwitz, you know, I think it was pretty early on, we realized he's character, and he, when you're winning, it's fun. And when you're losing, you can see how things might go wrong here. And I don't want to, I didn't want to see that happen, but I am afraid that we are going down that road potentially if things don't improve, that there's going to be things said in press conferences that he regrets. And I'm afraid that he may have already done that. And I'm assuming you're going to get there in a little bit, but I don't know. I don't like that road that we're going down with him, you know, maybe challenging the fans a little bit or being dismissive with the media. It's just, yeah.
So you're referencing the winners and losers comment, which, okay, having watched it all, I didn't think was as bad as it sounds in print. That's a perfect example of I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Right.
Not the best little story to tell there, not the best little adage to throw in, but he, if you haven't heard about it, he was quoting Bill Parcells, who said something like, losers get together and complain, and then Drinkwitz added on Twitter and message boards, winners get together and persevere, something like that, some coach speak silliness.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm not necessarily watching that and just getting like personally offended by it, but I just think you have to have the awareness that like the 1% of the fans are going to be the ones that actually watch the press conference and like see and hear it from the context you're delivering it in. And 99% of the fans are going to see everybody else getting offended by it on Twitter and being like, wait, Drink said we're losers on Twitter.
Exactly.
Like, you just have to be aware of how that's going to be like, you know, communicated through the grapevine essentially. And I feel like I've seen people really react negatively to that. And I just, that's a scary place, man. Like when you're losing and you're, you know, we've already talked about Drinkwitz maybe wanting the fans to be more a higher participation, yes, better attendance. Like you just can't have it both ways, man. No. You can't say that kind of stuff if you want better participation, better attendance, like more donations. Like you just have to, unfortunately, you have to kiss the butts of the fans.
Yeah.
And that's
to some extent. You don't even have to go crazy with it.
Exactly.
Just don't do
this
type of thing.
You just can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just try to be understanding of that perspective of the fans who are pissed.
We're pissed. You just went to Kansas State and we got our freaking butts handed to us.
Yeah.
We're not happy about that.
Yeah. And if you want the fans rallying around the team when they're good, and that to be the buzz of the entire state when the team is winning. He even talks about it. You can't look at this stuff when you're winning. You can't look at this stuff when you're losing. Well, then why are you talking about people on Twitter and message boards? Why are you talking about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, you've seen things you didn't want to see.
Exactly.
And you want us to know.
And I think he's seen that in the actual media as well. And that is a terrible idea if he thinks he's going to pick a fight with like the actual, like we're spoiled as Mizzou fans to have Dave Matter and Gabe DeArmond. Like those are capital J journalists who do an incredible job. And I usually don't seek their takes out. I just want to come up with my own thoughts about the team and everything. Mm-hmm. But this week in particular, I went and read anything they had to say. And they are so professional. And like, even I feel like Gabe was pretty, I won't even say negative, but he was pretty critical of Drinkwitz, mm-hmm, but in a very fair way.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't know, that going off on a tangent here, but
we have a right to be pissed.
Yeah, and the way he was answering things in the press conference, the preview of Abilene Christian, when all he would say about the offense is there's a lot of opportunities to grow, then he was specifically asked about what we've talked about. In the offseason, you mentioned opening it up a little bit and, you know, trusting your players more. He was asked about that, and he said, and I couldn't tell. I think he said, I opened it up and we turned the ball over too much. And I think he let the mask slip a little bit there. I think what he wants to say is we don't have the quarterback play.
Yeah.
But there's perfectly good reasons why he shouldn't say that. You know, you don't want to get your guys down. You don't want to throw guys under the bus. You don't want fans to demand Sam Horn when he's not ready. Yeah. You know, so you got to protect your players.
Well, you got to protect Brady Cook too, which I feel like he's done a really good job of in the offseason. And then potentially, though, opens Pandora's box when he throws Jack Abraham out there for two snaps.
Exactly.
And I'm guarantee you he's thinking, why on earth did I do that?
Yeah.
Like, unless truly Brady Cook was injured, I don't think he was. I think he said, let's see what else we have out there.
Yeah.
And it went horribly.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And yeah, Brady, Jack Abraham does not throw a pass in this game. This is just what I think. If Brady Cook had not already thrown interceptions, if he
wasn't injury related,
yeah, I don't think so. Because I think he took a play off when he got hit one time on a run. Took a play off, but I do not believe Jack Abraham attempted a pass.
No, it was just
on that one play,
one handoff,
and Brady Cook was right back in there.
Yep,
that's what happens when your quarterback, you know, gets the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah.
What happened when Abraham attempted passes was, we're trying something different at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, they showed Brady Cook on the sideline when they took him out of the game. He looked very unhappy.
Yeah.
It was not an injury. It was like just, it was frustration. And man, I'm not going to lie.
And the fact that Cook came back into the game afterwards.
Yeah.
That whole situation did not look great.
That, I mean, I was already emotional from what was happening in this game, but man, that kind of hit me deep, honestly, like seeing Brady get pulled and just standing there on the sideline, like, just looking sad whenever he got taken out of the game. Like, it just, man, what a terrible game this was.
So back to the press conference, there was another moment where Coach Drinkwitz was asked about special teams, because there's been a little bit of struggle there. They gave up the touchdown. Chris Abrams Drain has just been letting everything go over his head. I don't know what the scheme is there. Coach Drinkwitz does, and he went into great detail explaining
happy to talk about that,
what the problems were with the special teams. Yeah. But then he was completely like smiling to the reporters, being like, I'm not going to give you a real answer here on the offensive stuff. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, your non-answer says a lot.
Exactly. He did say, talking about special teams, they are going to create competition at the punt return spot.
Great.
If
season's back on.
If you say that, though, like, that's gotta be Luther Burden back there, right?
I would think so.
Because he also said, talking about Luther Burden, he wants him on the field less. He said he was out there for about 25 plays more than what they would like to see, which seems, I don't know how you let that happen.
Yeah.
If that's really what you want, but less plays, but more touches. That's something I've heard before in the NFL with like star running backs and stuff.
Sure.
That's fine. Obviously getting more touches.
More touches is what we're looking for.
The freaking announcers.
If you were doing like a drinking game with like the color commentator in this game, if it was like take a drink every time the color commentator calls for Luther Burden to touch the ball more, I mean, you would be dead by halftime. You would
that
not,
did not. He was not helping anything. Like the Mizzou fans.
What was this analysis? Like, I mean, I guess I agree, but like, I mean, it was like the only time this man spoke.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, here we are in the third quarter, and Luther Burden has still only touched the ball two times. Like, we know, man. Like, we want Luther to get the ball too. Like, I guess the game was so bad. He just like, there's nothing he could offer up other than that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's star play. I mean. Okay, yeah, we know, man. Like, we know who that is.
I think it's because that's, like, in his prep for the game. That was potentially all he really knew.
Did you do
knew.
Research for 5 minutes,
that's
man? Like,
that's the story of Mizzou football this year is Luther Burden, obviously. So, I'm going to talk about him a lot. Well, what am I supposed to do when he hasn't touched the ball? I'll just say that over and over.
Yeah, that was... I just was, like, furious, and that was the only thing I could laugh about in that game. Was like, man, this dude's really committed to this take.
Well, we might see him at punt returner. Coach didn't say that, though, so I guess it could be Dominic Lovett or somebody else. Where do we go from here?
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I've used this analogy before, and like, I know I'm kind of like teeing off on everything right now, so I apologize for the negativity, but I know you guys are probably right there with us. But I just feel, again, man, I just almost feel like a little bit conned into like having some positivity on that things were going to change. And like, I just kind of feel like I'm in this like toxic relationship with Mizzou football where it's like, man, I thought you were going to be better. Like I really believed that you were going to be better than this. And I kind of like bought the lie that like things had changed and that we had turned the corner a little bit. And but at the bottom of my heart somewhere, I still kind of knew that things didn't change. And sure enough, here we are. Like we have like a complete just utter destruction. And I'm not somewhere deep down, I'm not really that surprised. And but yet here I am, like I'm always coming back. And I can't quit you, Missouri football. But man, sometimes you kind of make me question why I do it. You make me question why I'm sitting here for 3.5-4 hours on a Saturday afternoon in tears on the couch, wondering what are we doing here, you know? And so I don't know. It's times like these that are frustrating, and it seems like kind of rock bottom. But I know I would like to say brighter days are ahead, and I think that's the case. But it's been a weird week.
Okay, I completely agree with you there. So. We are going to completely overlook Abilene Christian. They're an FCS team. This should be, you know, Missouri should look better in this game than they did against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. This is absolute scrubs. No offense.
So, if you want to hear about them, listen. If you haven't listened to Coach Drinkwitz's post or his press conference,
okay.
Most recent one, go listen to it. It's really easy to find on YouTube. If you just search Eli Drinkwitz, you'll see it right there. And that's honestly the ease of being able to listen to those and watch those press conferences is super helpful for fans, I think. But he actually mentioned some Abilene Christian players that he thinks are pretty good. One of them's like cousins or the brother of a player at Arkansas. Like that's the reason. Cool. That's the reason Coach Drinkwitz gave of like why to watch out for this player. Anyway. Abilene Christian, that's a win. Then we go on the road to Auburn. We're not doing a preview but on the road at Auburn. Auburn this week is a 3-point underdog at home to Penn State. Penn State, pretty good team, top 25 right now. So
got an opportunity.
Yep. In less than 2 weeks, we are right there with another game that is basically the same as the Kansas State game. Opportunity to see what's going on for the rest of the season.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, to go on the road at Auburn after you just got boat raced at Kansas State and say that's an opportunity for a win. As insane as that sounds, I think it's true, and it's an opportunity for Missouri to find a bounce back game, a reason to get excited for the rest of the season. They just cannot afford to march into Auburn and just do what they did last weekend, considering Auburn is really not very good and they have a ton of off-the-field issues, and Brian Harsin is probably not coaching there after the season. He might get fired in the middle of the season. I have no idea. But Auburn is very beatable, even as bad as Missouri showed they could be.
Auburn will still be favored by like...
And what
12, sure. Probably,
and what concerns me is really just the road environment. And in the Drinkwitz era, Missouri has been terrible on the road. They even admit after the games that they're intimidated and like by the crowd noise, which is just an enormous red flag. But you got to break out of that at some point if you're going to even go, you know, 500 in the SEC. So yeah, like you said, not previewing this game right now, but that's an opportunity to turn the season around.
So, I predicted Missouri to go 6-6 this season. You said 7-5. Recalibrating after this loss, 6-6 is still on the table, because even though Missouri has looked bad, South Carolina has looked bad. Florida has been up and down. Auburn has looked bad. So there are teams that are trending down just like Missouri. And what I mean, like, Missouri could finish ahead of South Carolina in the SEC standings.
Yeah.
I think potentially Vanderbilt is a little bit better than we thought they were going to be preseason. Still need to beat them mm-hmm. at home. But there's still an opportunity here for Missouri to finish above South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the SEC East standings.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you predicted them to go 6-6. I said 7-5, and we both predicted losses against Kansas State in the preseason. So, I mean, win-loss-wise, nothing's changed. With a loss to Kansas State, we really kind of thought that would happen most likely, but it's just all about the – I mean, it's always about the nuance. It's never about, like, if they win six games, then this. It's always about the nuances and how the games actually go, how the teams look, and that – you know, that's where the concern is right now, is we didn't just lose to Kansas State. It was the worst game I've ever watched. So.
until the next one.
Until Abilene Christian.
So I feel like there's like basically three different ways of thinking about the future as of this moment. And one is if you think that this is never going to work and if you are completely done with Coach Drinkwitz, honestly, you're probably not listening to this right now if you're completely done with him. But if you were thinking that going in, you know, there's no reason to be completely done with him right now unless you are looking for a reason to stop watching the games.
Yeah.
And that's understandable, honestly. People are busy. Football is not the most important thing in most people's lives. But he's definitely not going anywhere at the end of the season unless they only win two games.
Yeah.
Or three, maybe.
Yeah.
He's probably starting next year on the hot seat no matter what.
Right.
And but he's built up enough with recruiting, right, and, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you should want Coach Drinkwitz to be gone. I mean, unless just like the games just completely fall apart and he gets more adversarial in press conferences and stuff, which honestly is not impossible, but
we need this to be the low point on that kind of thing.
Right, exactly. I really kind of feel like this is as low as we're going to feel in the season, which it's pretty low.
Yeah.
But, I still feel like it's in the best interest of Coach Drinkwitz to just finish out the season as it's going to go, come back next season with another year of experience with talented recruiting classes. You know, we kind of touched on it in the offseason about the youth and important roles and how that had the potential to be ugly, and it's been that a little bit so far. So I'm still in the camp of let's give this more time. You know, I still think that whether or not Sam Horn plays very much this year, I still think that's one thing we have to look forward to.
Okay, so that's where I was going next, is the Sam Horn has, ever since he committed, that has been the focal point, I feel like. And some people, you know, we're all in on Brady Cook. Be all in on whoever is the starting quarterback every single season. That's what I say, at least at the beginning of the season. But I think everybody knows that we're looking ahead to Sam Horn. It's unfortunate that we're having this conversation two games into the season.
Sure.
But we're all looking ahead to Sam Horn. And that, I think, you know, next year you've got juniors that you recruited. You've got your handpicked quarterback who was highly touted. He's not a true freshman. Then that you are starting that season on the hot seat, and you have to prove that you can get wins from what you've been building.
Right.
And
yeah, I still think this is just like, it seems crazy to say it, but I really do think this is still just kind of a little bit of an intermediate season between the former players, the former coaching staff, and to a completely Eli Drinkwitz team and players and roster.
And yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, we thought that maybe, I think everybody wanted to think, and we definitely bought into the idea that this offense didn't need any of the transfers that auditioned or Sam Horn to be competitive this year, at least. And we may have seen, and we may continue to see, that that's not the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
It was pretty obvious, at this point, looking at Brady Cook's performance and some of the, just a little bit of the things that happened with Jack Abraham going in there. And, yeah, I think it's really pretty obvious in retrospect that they wanted to explore every transfer quarterback option on the market this offseason. And if they everybody loves Brady Cook. He's a true son. He's from Missouri. He is talented. He's a good kid. But they would have rolled out. They would have rolled with somebody else in a heartbeat if they felt like it gave them a better chance to win.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got an opportunity with an overmatched Abilene Christian team to get the offense feeling good again, get some, develop some rhythm, you know,
complete some passes,
get the bad taste of Kansas State out of your mouth, relax a little bit, take a deep breath, and then gear up for basically Kansas State game 2.0 against Auburn. I mean, it's the same same type of environment, the same, it's like better talent level, but the talent is not being utilized as well as it is at Kansas State, I would say, yeah, most likely.
That's probably fair.
But some incredible athletes on defense that are going to make it difficult for
sure.
Missouri's offense.
For sure. Yeah, it's an SEC game, and it'll count towards the standings. But, okay, so one more thing I wanted to ask you about for the Abilene Christian game. It's probably the question we're all thinking is, where are we going to see Sam Horn, and how much will he play, if so?
I don't think we will. I'm right alongside anybody who thinks they want to, or even thinks we should, even thinks that that's the correct call. That probably is. I just don't think we will. I think if anybody is going to get garbage time reps at quarterback, it's the quarterback that Drinkwitz thinks is going to come in an emergency or in the third quarter of a game that's still theoretically within reach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jack Abraham. So I don't know, unless because of all those ors on the depth chart, unless Jack just got passed up by Horn permanently for the rest of the season, then perhaps. But I think the quarterback that comes into the game, if we're up by 20 plus against Abilene Christian, that's the quarterback that is now the number two moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Drinkwitz is ready to make that be Sam Horn.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I want to see Sam Horn play.
Yeah.
I think that at this point, you give the fans what they want.
A crumb.
You give us a crumb, which is what we say probably all the time whenever we feel like the backup quarterback is good. But yeah, and I'm not. I feel like we're not normally the put the other guy in there. We're not usually that.
I'm not saying Sam Horn should start against Auburn.
No, definitely not. But just we want to see the top recruit out there. We want to see him completing passes, and you know, I think most of us would still say he's probably not ready to go play against Auburn. That's fine, but
we'll trust you on that, coach. Yeah. We'll trust you. I mean,
the two of us will.
Maybe not other people.
You've gotten it wrong literally every time.
Yeah.
On quarterback, but we'll trust you.
Yeah.
For a little while longer.
Yeah.
But I feel like you got to throw him out there for a quarter. I mean, assuming this is a game that you can do anything you want to do. I mean, even ideally, just
I don't think he wants to
give all four quarterbacks a quarter. I don't know. That sounds kind of fun.
I would take it.
Just yeah.
It's not gonna happen.
Let's just do something fun.
Don't get
football's,
your hopes up.
Football's supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, felt like entertainment on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Don't expect to see Sam Horn. That's what I say.
Don't get your hopes up.
No.
Okay.
Be pleasantly surprised if you get to see him out there. Oh, what if he played a half and was like, you know, just lit up a terrible like defense,
20 for 20 with three touchdowns or something.
Then you got to start him.
I don't know.
All right. We got to pick some games. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
I mean, we sit here long enough, I can go all day.
I still think this team goes 6-6, loses a bowl game,
yeah,
and Drink starts the year next year on the hot seat.
Yeah. I don't know that they will, but they can. They can definitely still go 6-6. They got a lot of stuff to figure it out.
Abilene Christian, New Mexico State. That's three wins. We need three more against
Vanderbilt.
Auburn, Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. It's probably not going to happen. But it could happen. Not impossible.
They're going to win against Abilene Christian.
Yes.
Lock it in. That's a win.
Yes, they will.
They'll be 2-1.
You willing to say that?
2-1 going into the road matchup against Auburn. That's what's going to happen. Now, let's talk about some teams that were favored by a lot of points and then lost, namely Nebraska. We are doing SEC Pick'em plus Nebraska.
What a game.
Producer Cameron's not here. He's embarrassed of Nebraska. So I have to run this thing now. Let's see what I got to do here. I believe I didn't write this down, but producer Cameron is in the lead with 20 points. The guest pickers and I are tied at 15, and you have 13 points.
Man, producer Cam's running away with it already.
Yeah. He hit on some upsets and some big wins, some toss-ups. So the way this works is we just pick the SEC slate as long as they're playing FBS opponents, and we just pick who we think is going to win the game. You get a point if you get it right, get a bonus point if the game was an upset. And we have guest Patreon picker Tyler picking alongside us this week. And we will start with number one, Georgia, 24.5 point favorite on the road against South Carolina.
It's got to be Georgia for me.
Georgia all around.
Spencer Rattler experiment not going all that well.
I mean, nothing against the kid, but like I just said, that's one of the few toss-up games Missouri still has left on their schedule. We need South Carolina to just fall apart.
They definitely have a fall-apart meter. It's quite high.
Yeah, yeah, there's potential.
Yes.
Oof, we need it.
Yeah.
Next up, number 20, Ole Miss, 16.5 point favorite on the road against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I got to go Ole Miss there.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Okay, this is one Mizzou fans might want to pay attention to. Number 22, Penn State, 3-point favorite on the road against Auburn. Let's see. So far, we've all picked the same. In this one, Tyler picked Penn State. Producer Cameron picked Auburn.
Mm.
I'm going Penn State.
Yeah, give me Penn State. Okay. I'd like to try and, you know, get some upset points or something, but I don't believe in Auburn right now.
And again, we need them to fall apart. I'm making my picks based on...
Would it be better for Auburn to win and go into the Mizzou game with, like, a renewed confidence?
No.
And just, like... Or you'd rather them just be like, we don't care where you're losing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I think we want them to get blown out and be these kind of... We need them to be having Brian Harsin conversations.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't happen in such a toss-up game, but they lose by 20.
At home, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can
Mizzou get Brian Harsin fired?
Ooh, there. Now that's an attainable goal.
I think they can. I genuinely think they can.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see
if they lose the next two, including against Mizzou. I think he's gone.
Oof. We're gonna get to Nebraska, but Scott Frost, he's out of there. Yeah. Well, let's see it with Harsin as well. Let's see. Vanderbilt is on the road against Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, 2.5 point favorite.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's easy. Vanderbilt.
Everybody's on Vanderbilt.
Hmm.
I'll take Northern Illinois.
That's surprising.
I'll take Northern Illinois.
You might regret that.
I probably will, but I actually kind of like Vanderbilt this year, but I'm going to pick against him.
Wow.
Louisiana Monroe... at number two, Alabama, 49.5 point favorite.
Yep, I think you know who I want there.
Louisiana Monroe upset Nick Saban, Alabama team, a long time ago.
Wow, that could definitely not probably happen again.
Yep. Alabama, though, almost lost to Texas. We almost that all picked that incorrectly.
That was a surprisingly close game. Wow, I did not see that coming. Texas was almost back, folks.
Steve Sarkisian, Texas head coach, he's been making enemies in the media this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're asking him who's going to play quarterback, and he won't tell them.
Well, what are there questions? Why would there be questions?
Yeah, yeah. The what's his name?
Did somebody get hurt? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ewers.
Ewers, yeah.
Yeah. Quinn. Ewers.
Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. Anyway, next up, Mississippi State. Mississippi State, 2.5 point favorite at LSU.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tyler and producer Cameron both on LSU.
Dang. Who you going?
If you pick LSU, I will pick Mississippi State.
I think I got to go LSU.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go Bulldogs.
You got an opportunity here.
Yep. Need it. Okay.
Mike Leach.
Yep. He'll get it done. LSU. Talk about hot seat. Brian Kelly.
Oh,
yikes.
Man.
Yikes. He's terrible. Akron.
You're in the hot seat after two games, do you think?
I just declared it.
It's official.
Akron at number 15, Tennessee. Tennessee, 47.5 point favorite.
Who are they playing? Akron?
Akron.
What kind of name of a school is that?
Akron Zips. Akron, Ohio. LeBron James.
It's the name of the town. Okay, yeah. Right. Of the town, the city. LeBron James.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He named it. He's named it for him. Yeah, give me Tennessee.
Tennessee all around.
Akron Zips. Great starter team, like in NCAA football, 14, if you're trying to, you know, work rebuild. Your way up through through the chain. You know, they've got a good running back, so you can just run all day, you know.
Absolutely. All right, next up, it's a Florida battle. South Florida at number 18, Florida. Florida, 24.5 point favorite.
Florida let me down last week, but yeah. You got to pick them here.
Yeah.
Maybe LSU just sucks. That's who they beat in the first. Wait, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. Did they play?
Florida beat somebody good.
Wait.
Who did they?
Am I dreaming that? Who did Florida beat that in week one?
A good team. I'll tell you. Florida beat Utah. Okay. Eventual Pac-12 champion, college football playoff attendee, Utah.
I was definitely confused.
Yeah, Florida beat Utah, then lost to Kentucky, but they're going to beat South Florida. All of us agree. Then we've got a real interesting matchup. Number 13, Miami at number 24, Texas A&M. Fraudulent. They just lost to Appalachian State.
Wow, that was brutal.
5.5 point. Texas A&M, 5.5 point favorite at home.
How?
Both Tyler and producer Cameron picked Miami.
Oh, yeah. Texas A&M is a favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go with Miami there.
I'll take A&M.
Okay. How in God's green earth do you have the talent that you have with the coach you have and you're as bad as Texas A&M is?
Number 24 in the country.
It's just mind-blowing.
They're going to beat somebody. They're going to, like, have one of the best wins in college football this year in SEC play.
They'll beat Alabama or something. Yep. I agree.
All right. Then the
potential. We said that last week. We were literally like, yeah, Texas A&M is fraudulent, and then they'll beat Alabama. But and that was even before they lost to Appalachian State or however you say that word.
How do you say it?
What are the different options?
Appalachian? Like, that's how
Appalachian
I would say.
Is how they were saying it on the broadcast, I think. It's like a
it's one of those things where I feel like that's the only time it's said that way is talking about the school.
Okay.
And not like the region.
Okay.
I feel like when you say the region, it's always Appalachia.
Right. That sounds right to
me. Yeah.
Appalachian State?
Yeah. But that's not right. It's Appalachian State.
Yeah, I agree.
There's other things like that. If you're still listening to this and you can think of other things like that, leave them in the comments. We need you to come through for us here, and we'll talk about it next week.
Are you a Louisville or a Louisville kind of guy?
Louisville.
Okay.
Louisville.
Not that Louisville. You don't know that.
Louisville. One thing I've heard is people from Toronto pronounce it Toronto.
Okay.
People, outsiders, pronounce it Toronto. Toronto. That's, you know, how it's spelled. Toronto.
I think I think I say it like the natives do.
There you go. Toronto. Last game of the week. Number 6, Oklahoma, 11-point favorite at Nebraska.
Oh, man.
11-point only? Nebraska just lost to Georgia Southern as a 27.5-point favorite.
Oklahoma will win by 50.
Yeah, that's...
They can name the score of that game.
Right? That's 11 points? Like, what am I looking at here? Like,
do they think Scott Frost, like, just him... Like, do they think the players were just, like, trying to get Scott Frost fired? Is that a thing that could happen? Like, the players were like, we don't like this guy. Let's suck tonight in the game.
Yeah, he's fired. Like, they've got an interim coach. Maybe they'll get the interim coach bump. I don't know.
That definitely happened with...
Surely not. Probably at some point in history, players have come together and said, like, screw this guy.
Yeah.
We want him out of here.
I mean, that would have almost had to happen for Nebraska to lose to whoever they lost to.
Yeah. They're favored by almost 30.
Georgia Tech State.
speaking of Georgia Tech, so comparable situation here. Ole Miss, 16.5-point favorite at Georgia Tech. But Oklahoma, only 11-point favorite at Nebraska. Maybe Georgia Tech is awful. Or like another example, Georgia, 24.5-point favorite at South Carolina. Oklahoma, only 11-point favorite. We don't give betting advice around here.
No.
And we actually would suggest
we definitely should
not to listen to us.
Yes. But that there's something
Oklahoma
good.
That's 11.
That's egregious.
Well, there's our picks. We'll see how everybody does. Good luck on the gridiron.
It's a big week for you.
Yeah.
You're really zigging when everyone else is zagging. It's exciting.
And they're not all, I mean, a few of them are favorites, so.
Exactly.
It's like kind of like low reward.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. High risk, low reward. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Good job.
Anything else? Wrap this up.
That's it.
Everything will be fine.
It'll be fine.
Don't even trip. It'll be fine.
For this week.
Yep.
Exactly.
Have some fun watching the offense score some points. Watch the defense make some plays. This will be nice. We might see Luther Burden return punts. That would be cool. Thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan DeMore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Lewis Hernandez, Tim Keynes, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Groffo, and Brandon Hanks. Thank you.
Thanks, gents. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We are on Twitter at Mizzou Sports Pod, and you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.BigCartel.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week after a win.